And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Greetings, Football and Grits listeners. This is Andy Staples. You may remember me as the guy from Monday mornings during football season, and also the guy who knows where all the good ribs are in every SEC town. We have a special treat for you today. On my show, The Andy Staples Show, we've been doing a series where we've been going by conference, ranking the jobs in each league, and we got to the SEC. So me and Ari Wasserman, who covers recruiting for The Athletic, we broke down our rankings for the SEC football coaching jobs. Our number one, I think, maybe slightly controversial, but I think those of you who've been paying attention are probably going to agree with us. Ari's got one that is going to blow your mind. And I know where he's coming from. He's still wrong. So give it a listen and see where your team ranks and see if you agree with us. Welcome to the Andy Staples Show. It's a Monday show. That means Ari Wasserman is here. That also means we're going to continue with our series of ranking the best jobs in college football by conference. Today, we're going to have the most controversial one. This is the one where, as I was going down my list, Ari, I kept thinking everybody in the top six is going to think theirs is the best job. Or they're just going to think Alabama's the best job because they win the national championships. But we'll get to that. This is a really hard one to do.
This is the only conference, Andy, where you might have a different number one. Like every other conference, it's just, okay, what's number two? And I think that there's a strong case to be made, and I'm very curious to see how we stack up. Because last week we agreed on everything, and you're Mr. SEC, and you know that conference like the back of your hand, and I'm very curious to see if we are still in the same general range as we were a week ago.
I will say I've had the same number one since about 2014.
Okay, well, then I think that you just gave it away, that we're going to be on the same.
And that means it's the number one job in the country, by the way. The number one job in the SEC is the number one job in the country. So,
okay, so should we just start off with me giving you my number one?
Yeah, I want to hear it because this is there are a lot of layers to this. If you agree with me, it doesn't necessarily mean that's it and we move on because there's a ton of layers to this particular one. So go for it.
Okay, my number one is Georgia.
Me too. Best job in the country. Not even well, I mean, it's close, but it is the best job in the country. I'm curious as to your rationale why I'm wondering if it's a similar match up to mine, because mine had a lot to do with studying the numbers of prospects being produced in the country, and that's how I came to that conclusion several years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the easiest answer is always just going to be, well, Bama, they're rolling, you know, and it just, the thing that I've always struggled with Bama is, and I'm sure we'll get to this, is it Bama or is it Saban? You know,
it's
and
Saban.
Like, that's a very
Bama was
fine
not
line.
Good before he got there. I mean, they had, like, 05, they had a good year, but they were not good under Mike Shula. Like,
yeah.
But you'll say, okay, well, what about Ray Goff? You know, Georgia wasn't good under Ray Goff. I get that. But just the way the population shifted, the way the dynamics of the state of Georgia work, it's the best job. And I think if you'd asked Nick Saban when he was looking for a job in the SEC, when he wasn't even really looking. He was going to stay with the Dolphins until Alabama talked him into coming. But if you'd have given him his choice of jobs, he would have picked Georgia as well. The problem with that at the time was Mark Richt went on a fairly epic run in his first few years as Georgia's coach. So he wasn't going anywhere. But Georgia produces more Power 5 players than every state except Florida and Texas. And it is the number one option in the state. There's not,
yeah, it's
there's like Georgia Tech is there and they're in the ACC and they're a Power 5 school and everything, but it's not the same as like Florida State and Miami or Michigan and Michigan State or Clemson and South Carolina. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah. And, you know, I think we're going to get into some controversy here when we get to my number two. But I think that the only reason why Georgia's number one is because it has carte blanche in Atlanta. And it's got that state, and there's no other program in that state that can take the talent from Georgia when things are rolling, especially at Georgia. And the way that they've recruited in the last 4 or 5 years under Kirby Smart is a personification of the potential of what that program is. Now, it'll be very easy to scream at your microphone or scream at your car or punch your steering.
Hold on, let me do it. They hadn't won a national title since 1980, Ari. 1980.
And that's what I was going to say they haven't won a national title since 1980. And I understand that, you know, that is that's kind of a bruise. There's no shying away from it. But also, as Georgia.
It's why Mark Richt got fired, and it's why people are not super patient with Kirby Smart. I mean, objectively speaking, Kirby Smart has done a very good job in his first years at Georgia. He got them to the national title game. They lost on a miracle pass in overtime on a second and 26 play. So he did that, but he's gotten them to the point where they would meet Alabama and then falter. Now, they took a step back this year because they got the quarterback situation wrong. But they've been where they need to be for the most part.
Nick Saban won the recruiting crown 8 years in a row, then Georgia snapped that streak and won it 2 years in a row and has been second or third every year since. And they have enough talent on their roster to win a national championship, and sometimes the missing link is just quarterback. But the fact of the matter is they've got the most advantageous recruiting situation in college football. And that's not just the SEC. I think, like, I agree with you, Georgia might be the best job in college football. And the other aspect of this too is, you know, when you take away the recruiting part, because that's how I look at this, and I knew that we were going to agree on this, because if you have Georgia to yourself, there's no better place to be. But they're also on a far more manageable side of the SEC as well. And, you know, I know that you can't take it away from Alabama because Alabama's so good, but you don't have to play Alabama, Texas A&M, and Auburn, and LSU. Like that, winning the SEC out of the West is a lot.
You don't have to play the other ones, yeah.
Yeah, right. So the entire dynamic of what it is to be Georgia's coach, even though Kirby Smart's hire coincides with the greatest run in college football history from a coaching standpoint. It's like LeBron when he went back to the Cavs and they had to face the Warriors all those years. It's just sometimes, you know, it doesn't mean that your job's not good,
LeBron,
or you're not doing a good job.
One. Kirby didn't have his chase down block.
Yeah, he didn't have his chase down block. But you know what? They were right there on the ropes too. So, you know, in the national championship game. So I think I would put myself in a position where I think this is a pretty easy choice.
I do too. And I know people will say, but Alabama's winning all these national titles. Yes, because they have the greatest coach of all time coaching them. That's why. Nick Saban is the best college football coach of all time. At this point, we can't even really argue that. There's not really another contender. So that's why. Now, Alabama's a really good job. In fact, Ari, it's my number two. I have Alabama there because if you are the right guy, if you are the one who's willing to do what Nick Saban has done. Here's the thing. Nick Saban is a relentless recruiter, continuously. Most coaches at this level of achievement would just back off in terms of recruiting. He has not. You know, in fact, this past year is maybe the best example of that. Alabama will give you all the resources you need to make it work. You know, you're never, and that's something that changed that Nick Saban made happen. You know, he got there, he said, I want this, I want this, and I want this. And a lot of the circumstances of his hiring were, remember, Rich Rodriguez had taken the job and then not taken it. And they're looking for somebody and they just didn't know, you know, who to get, but Nick Saban seemed like the obvious choice. And Mal Moore basically said, I gotta get you or I can't come back. They're not gonna let me back in my office. So Nick Saban, when he took the Alabama job, had carte blanche almost, like, hey, I want to do this. I want to add this. I want to do that. I want to add this program. I want to add this consultant. And they had to say yes because otherwise he wouldn't have come there. And I think that's going to benefit whoever comes after him because they realize if the coach is smart and he knows what he's doing, don't fight him. You have money. Just spend it.
I've been waiting patiently to drop my bomb. LSU is my number two.
Listen, I'm not going to scream at you about that because let's think about this. Okay. It's very hard to get players out of Louisiana. Alabama had a nice little run when Burton Burns was an assistant coach of getting players out of Louisiana. Devontae Smith, the reigning Heisman Trophy winner from Alabama, from Louisiana. I think, though, and I think, so I've got LSU number three, and I think it's a really good job. I think it's really close between LSU and Alabama. I just think because Alabama, now you've got Bear Bryant, Nick Saban, all that. Alabama is so meaningful, no matter where you are recruiting in the country, that you can get whoever you want.
Yeah, the reason why I did this is A, and I think this past year's class for Alabama was an example. They killed it in Florida, they killed it in Texas, and they've done nobody's done a better job of recruiting nationally. Their reach is unlike anybody else's. And that brand, as a result of it, has increased. And you know, you can't take anything away from that. Now, the thing I will say is, A, Alabama is dependent on being dominant in very tough areas to recruit historically. So if you take somebody out of that equation like Nick Saban and put somebody in, I mean, we're ranking jobs here, not who's the best in college football.
So what you're saying is, and I get this. So what you're saying is you take away Nick Saban, you put not even a replacement level coach, but it's Alabama. You're going to get a good coach, but it's not the greatest coach. So maybe you don't get Jerry Jeudy and Calvin Ridley out of Florida. Maybe you don't get Devontae Smith out of Louisiana. And suddenly that's different. I get that.
I think you could make the argument, too, that 10 recruitments is all you'd have to change the results of over a 7-year period to change the entire course of a program. You know, if you have certain players that are transcendent talents at those positions, it does a really good job of boosting you up. And I'm not saying that it's 10 recruits. I'm saying if I'm ranking the job, replacing Saban and being held to that standard while also having to rely on bordering states for talent is not as advantageous as taking over at LSU, a team that also has recently won a national championship and has the same type of rapport as Georgia and Louisiana. And Louisiana is no slouch for high school talent. Louisiana has six or seven top 100 players or top 150 players every single year.
And you should get them every year if you're the LSU coach.
And there's no Georgia Tech in LSU, in Louisiana. It's all LSU. That's all it is. And, you know, LSU, I think, has done as good of a job. Probably Ohio State and LSU are the two teams who have closed their borders the best. And part of the reason why is because those two teams are the only major Power Five programs in those states. And, you know, the culture and the idea of how these people in these states grow up to love these programs makes these kids almost an automatic to those schools. And like, if I were taking over a program, I would not want to take over and try to have to be at least held to a similar standard as Saban while also recruiting Texas and Florida. I would rather go into my own state, be the pride and joy of all the players in that state, put together these crazy recruiting classes and do it that way. And Alabama's my number three. And I get that, like, you could make any one of these three potentially the number one job in the country, and they're all very good jobs. But to me, we're talking about jobs here, and I'm not sure that Alabama is a better job. I just think they happen to have the greatest coach of all time right now.
I think you have to put some of it, because what we're saying is if Nick Saban left. But I think what Nick Saban did at Alabama has to count for something, too. I don't want to – you can't just say – Alabama's a better job because Nick Saban's better than everybody else. You're right. But the fact of the matter is, if Nick Saban leaves tomorrow, the machine he put in place is still there.
Yeah. No, I know. And that's why being the number three job in the SEC is probably a top five job in America still.
Well, being anywhere, I would argue that being anywhere in our top six here allows you to win a national title.
I think we're going to have different top sixes, but I agree with that. I think that it's really hard, and I know people are probably going to be angry, and if you fought me on it hard enough, I would be more than willing to switch. I just wanted to give a different viewpoint to like what I'm thinking here.
I don't think it's a bad take at all. I think it's a perfectly reasonable assessment of the situation, especially, and I may be completely wrong here, whoever comes in after Nick Saban, whenever that is, if they can't keep that up, if they can't keep nabbing a great player from Florida, a great player from Louisiana every once in a while, then no, it drops back. And
is the person who replaces, I don't mean to interrupt you, but is the person who replaces Saban, if they win one national championship every 6 years, are they a failure?
Absolutely not. If you're talking objectively, if you are an Alabama fan who's accustomed to winning like they're winning now, maybe you get a little impatient with that. But no, I mean,
that's an obscene amount of pressure.
Places, right. All of these other places we're talking about. But here's the thing. I would argue that Kirby Smart is under identical pressure. Kirby Smart was hired to win a national title. He has now coached Georgia for five seasons, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, without a national title. They're not happy with him.
Yeah, I know. That sucks because they're going to get one eventually. It's going to happen.
You can't keep recruiting like this and not have that special team kind of coalesce around it. Yeah, I agree.
And they were
you.
In overtime in a national championship game. I think if you told a Georgia fan, that's the difference between Bama and all these other schools. I think if you told an Ohio State fan, an LSU fan, a Georgia fan, all the other blue bloods that we're always talking about on this podcast, you're going to win two every 10 years. I think everybody takes that immediately. Alabama goes, you know, I don't know.
I think they do that now. I think if you'd have asked an Alabama fan in 2004, would you take, like, if you'd have said what was going to actually happen, if you'd have said from between 2009 and 2020, you're going to win six national titles, they would have laughed at you. Like, that would have been so beyond their wildest dreams. So I think the expectations will probably come back to earth eventually. But right now, yeah, they're in a different stratosphere.
Fan bases adapt, Andy. They adapt when their teams are down in the dumps and what they view exactly. as rebuilding. And when they're up at the top, I mean, this is just insane, though. Nobody's supposed – this isn't even something that you can duplicate.
It's not real. And that's part when people complain about Alabama being too dominant. I just want to be like, don't worry. It's not going to happen again. So – just when it's over, it'll be over and it'll be done. But kind of enjoy it and take some lessons from it and just marvel at it a little bit because it's not going to happen again. You will never see this again.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep. You heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, what is your number four?
Mine's Florida.
Okay, mine is too.
Okay, and you're Mr. Florida, so I would be doing a disservice if I didn't just let you take this one.
Well, this comes down to when we take Nick Saban out of the equation. You know, let's say some of those guys that Alabama goes down and gets. Let's say those guys go to Florida. Suddenly, that's because Florida is a few players away from being even with Georgia in the East. Now I know you're gonna say there are a lot further than that, based on the recruiting rankings. I think as long as Florida's got a quarterback, and they've got some special players, they can play with Georgia. Now the question is, can they play with Alabama? And they've got to get, because remember, when Florida won the two national titles under Urban Meyer, that 06 signing class is what put them over the top, and then set up the next one. And there's one particular player in that class that did it. And if you didn't watch Florida those years, you're going to say it's Tim Tebow. If you did, you're going to say it's Percy Harvin, which is who it is. And Florida has not had a Percy Harvin. That's the thing.
Nobody's had a Percy Harvin.
Yes, but people have had super special players. Alabama had Devontae Smith. You know, Ohio State had Chase Young. There have been those guys. Florida just hasn't had those guys. They had a very special player in Kyle Pitts this year, and you saw how good they were. I mean, they played the eventual national champs better than anybody. But they've got to get more of that. And it's just right now that's really hard when Nick Saban and Kirby Smart are recruiting against you.
Yeah, yeah. I want to just interject and just say my personal opinion is that Percy Harvin is the best college football player of all time. I don't know if that is a if that, I
don't I
mean,
think
that's where
find
I'm at
many
with
people
him.
In Gainesville who would argue with you because
I mean
he was just so
absurd.
Special.
Absurd. Yeah, and
I think Cam Newton agrees with us. Did you saw him?
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that whole thing. Yeah. And it's like, what? Urban Meyer's a genius, but he gave the fastest guy in the field that can't be tackled the ball. Like, great. I mean, it's just it's not a genius coaching decision. It's a special player who can make a play out of position the way that he made it, and it was just he did it every week, no matter what, and it was super special. And the reason why I have some pause with Florida, and I'll give you the floor to respond to this, is I don't know if Florida, Miami, and Florida State can all be really, really good at the same time. And there's a lot of talent in the state of Florida, and you're constantly battling other in-state schools who have great tradition and have won national championships. I mean, Florida State more recently than Miami. But it's just also quality of life. Recruiting Florida, if I'm like ranking jobs, might
really
put Florida
hard.
Down even more. I wouldn't want to recruit Florida hard. Every single day. Could you imagine that?
It's a knife fight every day. And that's what when Florida was open a couple years ago and when Florida State's been open the last couple times, people are like, well, that job just recruits itself. No, it doesn't. It is literally a knife fight every single day to try to stay on in the hearts and minds of the better players in the state. And then you have the Alabama drop-ins and the Georgia drop-ins where you've got to deal with them, the Auburn drop-ins. I mean, it's not easy. But when you get it going, you can get it rolling because it's one of those jobs like Florida, for some reason, when Florida gets cool, it gets very cool among players. Like you talk to a lot of the kids now, and we may be past that generation, but the last few years coming into college football, you know, their earliest memories were of like the Tebow, Percy Harvin, Brandon Spikes Gators. And whether they lived in Florida or whether they lived in Arizona, they're like, that was the coolest team. And I think we're going to see that, you know, in the coming years about Alabama and about Ohio State. But with Florida, when they get cool for a little while. And so you've got to be able to make it cool. And that's Dan Mullen's mandate is make Florida cool, and you will get some of those special players, and you will be able to compete for SEC titles, which means you'll be able to compete for national titles.
I think that's a very apt point and a really nice way to put it. I think cool is really, really interesting because right now in the modern world of recruiting, where these kids go to the same camps, are connected on Twitter, our friends are on group chats, they're all considering the same five or six schools, and they're all the cool schools to go to,
you
and
get,
Florida
right
now is not one of them.
Right, and if you get the right Pied Piper committed to you at Florida, like a year ahead of signing day, you're going to get a great class.
Florida is right on the cusp. I mean, this would be like an interesting podcast too, ranking the coolest places. It's like, what are the five right now? I mean, everybody knows what the five are. And it's like the battle is to get in that five. And I don't know what happens first. Do you get into that five first and then win a national title? Or do you have to win a national title to get into the five?
I think, I'd say like Pete Carroll, USC got cool and then won a national title. Although you can say the 03 team, you know, probably should have won the national title or had they played LSU, that would have been a hell of a game. But I feel like they were cool pretty much the moment Reggie Bush stepped on campus. I don't know. Because they already had like Matt Leinart. They had Sean Cody. They had a lot of those players that would be the best players on the 03 and 04 teams came in 02 and 01. So I think they were already cool, but Carroll had made them cool. But yeah, I think George is cool right now.
Yeah,
I would say. Clemson is probably the coolest. Just in terms of like, they're on everybody's mind, even though they've been winning, you still wouldn't think that somebody in California would have as their first choice a school in upstate South Carolina. But that's just how it is because people watch that. And now, you know, you've got these guys coming of age who were 12 and 13 when Deshaun Watson was playing at Clemson. And it just looked like so much fun. So everybody wants to play there.
Yeah, I think that the top five in the recruiting rankings are the cool teams, and Clemson is certainly one of them. And part of the reason, too, is that these guys are so connected. And I don't know if this is like the LeBron James. That's two LeBron references in one podcast, by the way. Like the LeBron James, Miami Heat getting the band together. But people want to play with each other. And when they're going to the opening.
That's been going on in college football recruiting forever.
But the opening culture, like where the top 100 players are all going to the same place at the same time now. They're getting FaceTime. They're becoming friends. They know each other. You've got kids who play across the country from each other who want to be a package deal. I know that package deals don't always work out the way that they sound in recruiting updates, but the fact of the matter is that that's a pool. And in order to get for one of these other teams, like you go look at the openings, top 50 players, and it's all the same final five, six. And it's just like, how can a player, a team like for instance, Auburn, which we'll get to, like crack that? How does Auburn go in and take a, you don't see it very often. And I feel like cracking the top five cool kids club is the hardest thing to do in college football. And I think it precedes winning a national championship. It's okay, chicken and the egg, but
I think you're right. Yeah. But let's go to number five, because my number five is Auburn. I take it yours is not.
No, mine's Kentucky.
Okay, all right. Here's the thing.
We're ranking jobs, man.
We probably should have established the ground rules, because I feel like you have to be able to win a national title. Like, if you can't win a national title, all the schools that can win a national title have to be above the schools that can't. And so that's why, like, you can win a national title at Auburn. You can win a national title at Texas A&M. Therefore, they have to be above Kentucky for me. If we'd have said, which job gives you the best quality of life, whether you win a national title or not, Kentucky is not only number one in the SEC, it is number one in the entire country. Because you can win eight games a year at Kentucky, they will pay you to keep you from going anywhere else, and they will not run you off.
Yeah, quality of life is part of my rankings. So I don't know. I understand that we might be on different wavelengths here, but the fact of the matter is that, like, if I were a head coach, Kentucky might be on my top 10 list of jobs in college football to be
coach. If winning the national title doesn't matter, Kentucky's number one. It's not close.
Yeah. And honestly, I think that Mark Stoops and his recruiting team believes that they can. I don't know that that's true or not, but I don't think that you take that job or you're a coach and you don't believe that you can. And Kentucky had a special season a few years ago, and they were a few games away from playing for the SEC championship. So, you know, I don't know if Kentucky is like the Michigan State.
And then they played Georgia with the SEC East on the line, and we saw what happened.
I know. I'm not trying to act like Kentucky is – but Mark Stoops is like a coaching legend in Lexington, is getting paid more than we can even talk about. The Brinks truck is permanently parked on his front yard.
It's
and
tremendous.
He has no stress.
But I think most of our listeners would agree that winning the national title has to be part of this.
Okay, sorry. I mean, I just wanted to know where I was coming from.
You and I have had this discussion. We both have expressed our admiration for the job that Kentucky is, because it really is awesome. Like Jeff Brohm at Purdue, I worry about him, because I worry at some point they're going to go, you know, what are we, wait, we're paying all this for four or five wins a year? I don't know about that. But Mark Stoops consistently delivers 8-9 win seasons at Kentucky and out punches and has that one game a year where they beat somebody that they probably shouldn't. And that means that, let's say somebody from the Big Ten or somebody bigger in the SEC tries to take him away, he's getting a raise. And they still won't. Like, if you are the coach at Auburn, I don't really need to make this a hypothetical. You could be the coach at Auburn and win the division 3 years ago, and they'll still pay you $21.5 million to not coach there anymore. Like,
yeah. Which isn't a bad deal either. I mean, let's be honest, big buyouts.
But if Gus Malzahn had Mark Stoops' records, he would have been fired long ago.
Yeah. I don't know who has more money, but Gus Malzahn is the king of cashing checks. And I don't know if you asked him, like, to go back in time, knowing what you know now about what you did at Auburn, beating Alabama as much as he did, which is a minor miracle when you think about it. Like, would your life have been better at Auburn or Kentucky? And I think that'd be an interesting discussion. But I'll tell you this, Andy. That's
the last
time.
I always like bluegrass.
This is the last time we're going to have a weird mix-up in there, but I just wanted to make the point that Kentucky is just an awesome
job. I'm fine with that. You and I have discussed this before. We are on the same page as far as that goes, but I'm just going with these where the national title has to be a major criterion. So
Okay.
My number five is Auburn, because the last five coaches have won there. You know, Gus Malzahn won an SEC and played for a national title. Gene Chizik won a national title. Tommy Tuberville went undefeated, couldn't play for a national title because it wasn't a playoff, but would have been able to play for one if there had been a playoff. Terry Bowden went undefeated, and then you get to the best coach they've ever had, Pat Dye. So, like, everybody wins there at some point. The problem is it's a giant roller coaster, and you have to be able to deal with the downs along with the ups. But you are 2 hours from Atlanta.
Why does that happen all the time? Like, why is that always the case? Through different coaches, it's like funny when a program's personality transcends the person who's running it.
My number six is going to – it's the reason Auburn's five for me, and the number six is number six and not above Auburn. Because objectively, it would have more going for it. We'll be right back after these words.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Okay, my number six is Texas A&M.
Mine too. I don't know
if that's what yours is going to be also.
Mine too.
And Texas A&M comes higher for me because my number seven's Auburn. So it's all we're all kind of in the
and
same
I have,
spot.
And here. I have Auburn above Texas A&M. Because for whatever reason, Auburn's been able to get it done. And then I don't know if it's like a hex or there's some sort of boogeyman in College Station. Like, for whatever reason, it never gets done there. And there's no logical reason why it shouldn't. Texas A&M has everything you could possibly ask for to succeed. And yet, there's my Jim McElwainism, and yet, they don't. They just don't consistently compete for titles. It makes no sense. And that's why I had to dock them and put them below Auburn when I think if you look at it just purely objectively, given what they have around them, what the competition they're facing with different schools that are near them, I would think Auburn would be a harder job than A&M. But the last five coaches at Auburn and the last five coaches at Texas A&M tell me that Auburn's a better job.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. And the reason why Texas A&M is higher on my list is because in theory, it should be easier. Also, coming from covering the Big Ten and covering a rivalry, I think the toughest spot and the reason why Michigan got docked on the Big Ten ranking show that we did is because you're always constantly being measured against your rival. And Texas A&M can have a really good season.
Their rival's not Ohio State.
Auburn's?
Oh, Auburn's rival. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Like, Auburn's rival is better than Ohio State. Yeah.
I thought you were talking about Texas. I was like, oh, okay. Yes. No, I agree completely. And I had this discussion with Jay Jacobs back when he was Auburn's athletic director. I said, how do you reconcile that? Because They're clearly on a historic run. You know that. Everybody else knows that. It's not normal. But you're still their rival, and everybody still gets mad at you when you lose to them. And he's like, yeah, there's really nothing you can do about it. Our fans want to beat Alabama. And there's nothing we can do about that. We have to beat them. You can say it's dumb or that this will change when he's gone, but it doesn't matter. We still have to beat them. That's our job. And kind of appreciate that answer.
Texas A&M lost one game this year, and they lost to Alabama by 28, I believe. And this, yes, you might as well like carry Jimbo Fisher off like Rudy off the field.
But here's the thing. If A&M, like, let's say Jimbo Fisher can string a few of these years together, I would move A&M up this list. Because I just need to see it done. I need to see some proof of concept with A&M.
Four words. They are in Texas.
Texas is also in Texas and in an easier league.
I know, but there's like 150 players. There's 150 players in this state. And I just feel like geographically speaking, I mean, you said it yourself. I don't know what it is. But Texas A&M has more access to better players than Auburn from a natural selection standpoint. They should own the city of Houston, which has a ton of talent in it. Mm-hmm. And they just had a really crazy good finish to their 2021 class. Their 2022 class seems to be on track to being outstanding. Like Texas A&M, for as much as the entire fan base hates me because I didn't think they were a playoff team last year, here's my olive branch. I think they're going to be awesome if things continue. And they're all in the same division, so it's kind of hard to make any bones about
that's,
that. But
that's
at the
same
time,
we have four SEC West teams already. We're on number seven. I'm on number seven. You're on number six. But Auburn's your number seven. So
Texas A&M doesn't have to beat Alabama. Doesn't have to beat Alabama for their season to be considered a success. And I don't know if the same psychosis goes on at Auburn the way that, you know, it does in other rivalry games. But to me, the geography and the fact that they're not Alabama's rival makes this a little bit better. But I do agree with you. For whatever reason, Auburn has been a roller coaster. And it doesn't matter who the coach is. And
their lows are bad, but their highs are amazing. So
I just don't know why. If we can't identify why, then I can't rank them higher.
Well, we can't identify why A&M hasn't been able to be a consistent contender either, though.
I think you could just say coaching incompetence.
But here's the thing. Like, they've
Which
made
Which is why they're paying Jimbo Fisher,
time.
Like, how much
but
they're
I don't
paying
think
him.
I don't think it's all coaching incompetence. I really don't. I, you know.
See, it's a spell?
I think it might be. Yeah. I really do. I think it might just be like some sort of dark magic because a school in Texas with that fan base, with that much money, like with that many players nearby, there is no reason they shouldn't have fallen ass backward into a national title like twice in the last 60 years.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I have faith that they can do it, though. I don't know if they can actually do it, because in order to win a national championship, they've got to beat Alabama, LSU, and Auburn in the same season. I don't know. The only team that can do all that is Alabama.
LSU just did it.
Yeah, no, I know, but Texas A&M is still a ways off.
And Auburn has done it. I mean, look, it's doable. It's not always going to be Alabama. I know we feel like it will be because of what we've seen over the last few years, but it's possible it can be somebody else. All right, here's where people are going to start getting really mad at us.
Yeah, this is when we're going to veer off, I think, too.
Number eight. Actually, no, I'm on number seven. You're on number... So four of my top six were in the West.
Yeah, I'm on eight.
Oh, you had Kentucky, that's right.
Kentucky up there, that's why we hopped.
So my number seven, and I know they think I hate their job and I don't like the school, but I actually think it's a great place to live. I lived there for 2 years. And
don't do it.
It's a pretty good job for the right person.
High.
The circumstances immediately right now suck, but
too high.
Take those terrible circumstances away, and it's a pretty good job. The University of Tennessee.
Too high. I mean, if we're projecting the next 5 years, come on. They are so far down on my list, it's going to be embarrassing. Like, this is, I think, the most we've disagreed on a job since we've done this series.
That's all right.
And you want to talk about
Twitter. I'm happy to be the good guy for once.
I mean, I understand that Vol Twitter coming after you might be. I'd put him number one to avoid it. But right now, in the next 10 months and then into 5 years, like Josh Heupel has a heck of a job ahead of him. And they're like rebuilding a rebuild. The fans are increasingly impatient. Every single time there's a three and out coach, the pressure on the next one gets even higher.
But
recruiting
here's
state is very, very difficult.
This historically stupid situation they're in right now, I think is finally going to stop the churn, because you can't look at it and say, if this guy can't get it done in 3 years, we have to fire him. Somebody's finally going to get a chance to get this job done.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that would make it a little bit better if you feel like you have, if you actually believe that Tennessee can go more than 3 years with the same head coach. I don't know. Hasn't it been since Philip Fulmer that they've that was the last coach that was at Tennessee for more than 3 years?
No, Butch was there 12, 13, 14. I'm sorry, 13, 14, 15, 16. And into 17. So he was in a fifth season.
Okay. I don't know, man. I wouldn't want to take that job right now. Especially considering the fact they might have some NCAA stuff going on. And we've talked so many times on this podcast about...
they might have some NCAA stuff.
I'm not going to predict whatever happens with the NCAA. I'll let that handle itself and then we'll discuss it. But, you know, I like the idea
of
Tennessee.
We're leaving the NCAA. The NCAA is gone. No more problems.
If in 10 years we did this, I might take Tennessee because of what the population shift is doing in Nashville and some of the people coming up from south into Tennessee. Like, I think there's potential there. I'm just saying, like, we're doing this from here to the next 5 years. I wouldn't touch that job with a 10-foot pole, and they had a hard time finding somebody to do it. I mean, I think that the way that they're coaching higher
at Ari Wasserman, Ford, all
didn't it play out
there?
That way, though? Did they get what they – I mean – It didn't.
No, they didn't get what they wanted, but I'm not sure what they wanted. I think they wanted like hologram Vince Lombardi. I think that was the only possible option.
Yeah, if you're gonna take a team and put them in the top eight of the SEC rankings, and then that team is just coming off a coaching search where they couldn't convince anybody to come, like that's like a bad look. I know you want to hit me, but
that's hey, whatever.
It's gonna get worse when I tell you my number eight.
Well, I think I know what your number eight is. Go for it.
Guess. I like when you guess because I feel like you always nail it.
South Carolina.
Nope.
No. Ole Miss.
Nope.
No.
Okay, I'll tell you.
Arkansas?
It's Mizzou.
Oh, Mizzou. Okay. All right. I think Mizzou better than I do, I think.
I like just Mizzou better than you do.
I just don't think it has much natural recruiting ground. That's my only issue. Yeah. I think it's a perfectly fine place. And every year that passes, I appreciate what Gary Pinkel did even more.
Yeah, and Pinkel showed that you could win at a pretty high level there. And St. Louis is the best talent area of any of these teams. Like, what is a more natural recruit, like Tennessee's proximity to Atlanta?
I'll take the state of South Carolina over St. Louis. But again, you have to deal with Clemson, so...
You have to, yeah, I don't know. St. Louis, Ohio State's in St. Louis. Teams, if there's a five-star prospect, they could be on Mars and everybody's recruiting him. So, like,
that's the thing. I mean, if you're in St. Louis, Arkansas is going to be there. I mean, you're going to be fighting tooth and nail.
I think St. Louis is a nice place to a territory with high-level football to claim the under-the-radar three and low-end four-star prospects to build something the slow way.
There's also decent talent in KC. Like some of it's under the radar, like Isaiah Simmons was under the radar and Clemson plucked him out of there. But yeah, St. Louis and KC, there's talent there. You can make that work.
Yeah. And they, you know, I don't know what the pressure situation is there. Just thinking in terms of, it's like when we did our episode, Andy, where we like, what teams are you buying stock in? Are you buying stock in Tennessee or Missouri right now? I think you picked Mizzou on that podcast.
I think Eli Drinkwitz is a good coach.
He is.
But I had South Carolina in that spot because I think, granted, with Clemson doing what it's doing, but again, once again, we've got a historic run that at some point will end. And if you can once again dominate that state or even come close, even split in that state, you can be the third best team in the East behind Georgia and Florida.
South Carolina is my nine. So like we're basically on the same page there.
Yeah.
It's a tough spot. I mean, it's not an easy, I don't know. South Carolina's got some nice talent, but it's not necessarily known as a hotbed for elite level recruits. And I remember, you know, back in the day, there were some pretty athletic defensive linemen in that state. And, you know, South Carolina won big at one point with South Carolina talent.
This is why South Carolina won with South Carolina talent. and they're not doing this right now because of Clemson, but they went, this is, they went Alshon Jeffrey, Stephon Gilmore, Marcus Lattimore, Jadeveon Clowney, got all those guys. I mean, think about that list. That's a really amazing group of players. So that's why they jumped up. And of course, let's throw Steven Garcia in the mix here too. Now, Connor Shaw also being the right guy at quarterback at the right time helped. But I think they can recruit enough nearby. Plus, you're so close to Atlanta. You're close to Jacksonville. You're close to South Georgia, where there's a lot of players in these little tiny towns, and people can get overlooked even by the big boys that are in the SEC. So you can find, but they're the closest FBS school to Charlotte. The closest Power Five school to Charlotte. Charlotte would be the closest FBS school to Charlotte.
The problem here is that if Clowney were the number one overall player in the 2011 class and you made it the 2021 class, where's he going?
He's going to Clemson.
Every time. And that's like really, really hard world to live in, because the only hope that South Carolina really has to be legitimately good in the SEC, like good enough to contend for a title, is by those kids popping up in their own state and them claiming them. And like back in 2011, during this time when Clemson wasn't Clemson yet. So the fact is that like now there's a major roadblock in your own state that didn't exist 10 years ago. So I think building South Carolina is going to be much more challenging, even if these kids pop up again, you know, and that there's a lot of talent in that area. But I would never, and maybe I'm talking myself into maybe putting them even lower, because I wouldn't want to be second fiddle to anybody in my own state. Like, that's just a recipe for disaster to me.
I think because of the you're in the SEC, it's cushioned a little bit. It's not as bad as it could be. You know, if they were an ACC school and in the same state as Clemson, that would be worse by a lot. But at least you can say, hey, come play in the SEC, which is, I've got Kentucky next. And that's what Mark Stoops has made a living on, is going to kids in states that don't have SEC schools and saying, come play in the SEC.
I just pulled up South Carolina, the state, from the 2021 class. There are no players in the top 140 nationally in that state, in that class. And the best recruit that South Carolina got was the number 8 ranked player in the state of South Carolina, and he rates number 667 nationally. You've got Alabama, North Carolina, Florida, Georgia, and Florida State all above them in their own state. Like, that, this is a really
tough
job.
When you're coming off a 4-8 season and you're about to fire your coach, you don't do very well.
But it's a bad combo. It's a bad combo because there's the talent's not there to begin with. And
I'm telling you, there's enough talent within a 4-hour drive. They can be good if they get the players. Now, they have to convince them to come, but they can be good.
There's 5 top 200 players in the 2022 class. 2 are already committed to Clemson. The number 1 player in the class is a corner named Jaden Lucas, and he is the number 38 overall player, and he's crystal balled to Clemson. Like, that's just, I don't know. I might actually wish I could move them down just looking at all these numbers right now. It's a really tough job.
I don't think these are set. Did you etch in stone? Did you?
The more I think about it, I mean, 9 isn't the greatest ranking in your conference, but when we're talking about the SEC, that's a pretty good ranking, but I still wouldn't put them below Tennessee.
Well, I had Kentucky below South Carolina for the reason I just gave. South Carolina has so many players within a 4-hour drive that the right coach, and I don't know if Shane Beamer is, we'll find out, but the right coach can make them competitive. There are players there. You got to get them to ignore some state lines, but there are players there.
Right.
Dabo Swinney manages to get players to ignore state lines all the time. So it's doable. My number 10 is Ole Miss. I think
my number 10 is Ole Miss.
I think you got the JUCO system in Mississippi, plus really good high school players in Mississippi, plus you are so close to Memphis. There's a opportunity to recruit there. But you have to understand how to balance your roster. You have to be able to hit on those JUCO guys, and you got to have a quarterback. And right now, Ole Miss has a quarterback, and things are pretty fun in Oxford.
2 words: Arch Manning.
as Matt Corral's successor, I can go with that.
I, if Arch Manning goes to Ole Miss, shoot them up four spots in my rankings. And I feel like the potential of them getting him, I mean, there seems to be, he's been impossible to get a hold of. I don't really read much stories about his recruitment at all right now.
It's because he doesn't want to talk, and I don't blame him. His family's been covered a bit.
Yeah, I understand that. I also understand that if he has any sort of family ties to that last name and that college, then, you know, I don't know if Tennessee might be in the mix there too, but it's just like, if they have any chance with Kiffin there, like, that could be a transcendent game changer. And also, Athens is beautiful.
Athens is where Georgia is.
I'm an idiot. Forgive me.
Athens is also beautiful, but yes, Oxford. So, by the way, I think we are saying all this stuff, and Lane Kiffin has the best chance to prove us wrong in terms of what these jobs are, because I think Ole Miss, with some proper plucking out of the transfer portal, can become a team that can, I don't know that necessarily can win the SEC or win the West, but can beat most of the teams in the West on a given day.
Yeah.
Which is saying,
and something. They're fun. I think being fun matters too, right?
I think so too. And I think Ole Miss has been fun. When Hugh Freeze was there, Ole Miss was fun too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think, yeah. And this is sort of like what I always say, like when Kansas opens, hypothetically, you know, as if Kansas might open again soon. Be fun, be different. Be something we know what you are. And I think everybody on, when we're at this point on this list, you have to be that. So my next one's Mississippi State.
My 11 is Tennessee, so we don't have to go over that again.
Okay.
My 12 is Mississippi State, so here we go.
Mississippi State, you know, same thing. You got to be able to do well. You got to hit out of the JUCOs. You got to evaluate well. Dan Mullen is probably the most successful coach they've had. He was a very good evaluator of talent, and that's the kind of thing you need. Now, Mississippi State obviously has a distinct identity now with Mike Leach. We saw that didn't work so well at the beginning. The question is, once Mike Leach gets everybody who came to play for him and everybody sort of bought in, does that get better? And I don't know if it does or not.
Yeah. Yeah. But when you start getting into this range, I mean, that's just life. You know, I feel like there's always peter out when we get down to the bottom three. It's just like, what is there to say? You know, it is what it is.
Okay. So I had Missouri at number 12 because the problem is there's not a ton of talent, and the talent that there is in the state, a lot of really good people are trying to get. I had Arkansas at 13. Now, Arkansas is an interesting one to me, Ari, because you and I noticed this throughout the year as Sam Pittman got them competitive again. Their talent was not bad. Like, what he took over from a pure talent perspective was pretty good. I think they were the number 25 team in the 24/7 talent composite, which is, you know, you put the recruiting rankings of all the players on the roster together. And so number 25 is probably good for like number 11 or 10 or 11 in the SEC, maybe even lower. But it does mean you can beat teams that are from 10 to 20, like if you coach them well enough.
Yeah, I mean, Arkansas would probably be in the middle range of every other conference based on the circumstances of what they have. And, you know, that's the reason why they are my 13 and then Vanderbilt's my 14, because of all the teams in the SEC, like, Vanderbilt is completely off the reservation in terms of comparable talent. I think, like, all the other teams ahead of it on the right Saturday can compete with anybody but Alabama. And even Ole Miss competed with Alabama last year, as we all saw. So, like, Vanderbilt doesn't even have a chance when they show up. So,
yeah, they're fishing. They're fishing from a different pond,
right?
In terms of recruiting,
and they don't even belong. Yeah, in the conference, in terms of just like what it is to be competitive in the football landscape. But, you know, I think aside from my Kentucky reach, we were pretty on par. Again, yeah,
and
I don't know.
Kentucky one makes sense. The only reason I didn't have Kentucky where you did is because I was putting the national title as a criterion. But absolutely, if we're just talking about, do you want to be happy for the rest of your life? Well, being the head coach of Kentucky is a way to do that. So there aren't, like, if you could be the Auburn head coach, It will end badly. You're going to have some good times, but let's be honest, it's going to end badly. And you just gotta accept that when you go.
I mean,
in,
I guess you get a
big check.
There's worse things to be than a national championship winner that ended badly. I always just think it's so funny that most
Gene
colleges.
Chizik seems very zen to me now.
How fast did they fire him?
2 years.
Wasn't
I mean?
How many other schools do you win a national championship and then just stay how long as you want?
Oh, exactly. And
he won a national championship and was gone in 2 years.
He went 0-8 in the SEC in 2012. 0-8.
Should the national championship
win a game?
Winning the national championship, in my opinion, should be like a clause in every contract. If you win a national title, you get a 5-year extension guaranteed.
So it's sort of like winning a golf tournament and you're in the Masters for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Winning a national championship is so freaking hard. Like, if that's your upside, I think every fan base outside of Alabama and maybe some of the other blue bloods would be like, okay, give us one national championship and then we'll wait 5 years of mediocrity and then we'll do it again. And I think that's part of the reason why Auburn was so
not
high
on your
list. No, they enjoy it. They enjoy
they
the ups.
They enjoy it. They clearly
enjoy
the downs.
Is what I mean.
Yeah.
What a crazy world.
They don't draw joy from the suffering. I do know that. I've talked to enough Auburn fans to know that they suffer pretty deeply during those downs. Thanks so much for listening. If you're not already subscribed to the Andy Staples Show and Friends feed, by all means, hit that subscribe button. We're doing 4 shows a week every day. I know it's not the season. Trust me, we can still find plenty to talk about in the world of college football. So if you need your college football fix, hit that subscribe button. Andy Staples Show and Friends feed. Talk to you later.